We all remember the very famous expression, the words of one of the founders of modern missions, William Carey, who said, "Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God." Isaiah 54 is a song in which God calls his people to change their mindset and their approach to life. A new time has arrived, and God is going to create great works for his own glory. But to do this, he needs people with a new mindset. This passage is about Israel. And the nation of Israel is presented here in this passage as a widow. She is utterly alone. Her husband has died, and she is childless. She seeks out a humble existence, living in very little tent, and experience nothing more, not expecting nothing more from life. We can imagine her to be overwhelmed by sadness, disgrace, and even ruin, hoping that things will change, would seem like empty, wishful thinking. She is afraid to let herself even think of a better life. It appears that only disgrace is waiting for her. Her years pass in grief. Her eyes are always lowered, and when she does make up her mind to sing in her loneliness, her songs are full of grief and hopelessness. But it is exactly to these kinds of people that God turns his attention to, and then calls them to joy and to vigorous activity. God himself will be their husband. He will accomplish great things. The whole world will know that he is God of all the earth. In an interview, one well-known evangelist was asked, "Are you an optimist or a pessimist?" Without missing a beat, he answered, "I'm an optimist. I know God, and I have read the last chapters of the Bible, which assure me that those who are in Christ win." Friends, we live in a very pessimistic time. Even Christians are subject to pessimism. It seems like faith is disappearing somewhere, and fear and even confusion come to take its place. But Isaiah 54 was given also to us, to encourage us. And even today, God is prompted his church to change our outlook on life. He wants his church to grow in such a way that she will plan to spread out her tent. He guarantees all of us his own participation. He guarantees his own support. And he promises that the church will have children. New people will come. God desires that we remember his greatness and his power. We have already said that this text is a song. God wants his call to become our song, a song of praise to him. God wants us to forget about our failures, to get rid of our pessimism, and expect great blessing from him. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says that God does more than we ask or even imagine. You remember this verse very well. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think," according to the power that works in us. God can do this. For the last 20 years of our church, we have experienced the faithfulness of these words many times. Who are we more like today? Are we like Israel in the form of a widow, or God's nation, proclaiming from a joyful heart what the Lord can do and will do? But God also desires us to be active. It is not only about thinking, it is also about acting. Our Christianity should be very practical. We should be practical Christians. Listen to again this word of God. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispose as nations and settle in their desolate cities. In other words, God says, seek building advice and plan a great rebuilding. Your tent is too small to hold everyone I will bring in. You mourn for yourself and were frightened, but I want you to be encouraged to start being active and to spread out your influence to the right and to the left. I often imagine that great multitude of the saved from the book of Revelation. There are three passages in the book of Revelation where we read about great multitude of saved people. And every time John writes that no one is able to count them. There are so many of them that no one can count them. And I'm always thinking, how many of these people would be from my city, Odessa? How many of them would be the people God brought to our church, who were saved in our church? Through our testimony, through our ministry, through our evangelistic activities, how many? You know, during these days, when we look around ourselves, it seems like there are not many saved people. We do not see huge numbers of people coming to Christ, coming to the church. But friends, what we sang in the last song, we should go by faith. We should not only look what is going on today in your country, in our country, but we should look into the future. We should look to this great image of this great multitude of saved people and remember that there will be so many of them that no one will be able to count them. It's a great picture that inspires us. God wants to save many people. What he wants us to do? He wants us to start to make our tents a little bit bigger. A little bit bigger. Our church, as I have been already shared, has many different ministries. And we can say that we are quite active church. But every time we meet together, we always remind to ourselves that the most important in our ministry is this. Can we continue to move people toward salvation? Whatever we do, how it helps to bring people closer to Christ, to bring them closer to the Savior. You know, we can make our tents bigger and more comfortable just for ourselves. But what God is speaking here, he said, your tent is too small to hold everybody I can bring. So please, make it bigger. What can we do to make our tent bigger? First of all, I would like to mention that to grow and develop means to strain. It means more work. Sometimes it even means to be subjected to pain. Sometimes we are looking for comfortable life, and it is so natural for us. We always would like to live better. We even are ready to sacrifice something for the sake of our children, that they can live better. And we do this from the loving heart, and then we wonder why our children do not want to go to the church we go, why we lost our grandchildren. Everything has become so comfortable, and we don't want to change something. We are adjusted to what we have. But to grow and develop means to work harder, to sacrifice something more, to do something more. I remember when I was a boy, we liked to build little tents. We used everything we could take when mother didn't see. And almost every day when the weather was nice, we just built our little tents and we could spend days there. It was like a little palace for us. And I remember it was so easy and so simple to put such a little tent. But I also remember when my first experience to go to the mountain area. Oh, I was so proud to have a real tourist tent. 3 people can sleep there. And I remember it took us about an hour to put it on place, to prepare everything. But that was a great night, sleeping in that bigger tent. Several years ago, we had a youth camp, and we brought a military camp tent for about 50, 60 people. You know, we have a group of 7 or 8 strong men, and we spent 3-4 hours just to put everything on place. It was harder work. It took more time, more efforts, but when it was there, it was so good to have our fellowship there. So if we would like to really grow, we should be ready to give more, to work more, to pray more. If we are not ready for this, we would seek just comfortable existence for ourselves. And the life will be better for a period of time. But gradually we will start to recognize more and more that we are less satisfied. And we do not see God working in our lives, blessing us, leading us. When I'm thinking about this tense, it should be made bigger, I'm thinking always about increasing our faith. You know, we always use this phrase, to make a step of faith. How does it happen? We live and something is going on and we are ready to make a step of faith. And it means usually that we are ready to do something we didn't do before. How does it happen? You know, when I read the Bible, I always see that God leads us through faith. And for myself, it is not that there are different faiths, but just for practical reason, for my better, simple understanding, I divide faith into 2 parts, accepting faith and courageous faith. You know, sometimes it takes a lot of time for us to learn just to accept what God is doing in our life. Because we protest. Sometimes we feel angry. We are not happy. We ask God to change something in our life. But He is leading us and He is teaching us to obey and to be humble. And it takes time to learn how to accept by faith what God is doing in our life. But when we are faithful day to day, something is going on with our faith, and one day we feel that Holy Spirit is prompting us to start something new. Usually, we didn't do this, we didn't have experience, we don't know how to do this, we are afraid even. But the Holy Spirit is just pushing us. Okay, you should do this. I call this courageous faith. The faith that the Spirit of God gives us to start something new, to expand, to be ready for something different. I also thinking about increasing our prayers. If we would like to make our tent bigger, we should pray more. You know, I remember 2 years ago, we conducted our pastoral conference for our pastors from our churches. And in that conference, we shared with each other how we help our churches to grow, what evangelistic tools we used, what approaches we used. And it was very good conversation, very good time together. And then one pastor stood and he started to share, and he said this. He said, you know, our church stopped to grow. And we read all the possible books on church growth, evangelism. We tried all possible methods and approaches we got to know. Everything that was available to us, we read, we learned, and we started to practice. And you know, he said, nothing worked at all. And in desperate crying to God, we decided that as a church we will go through the period of prayer and fasting, period of 40 days. It didn't mean that the entire church was fasting 40 days, but it means they divided the church into small groups and they pray every day, and one group in the church was fasting in this day. And every evening, every night, they come and they have prayer meetings. And he said, you know, nothing has been changed in our church. Everything was the same. But that year, we baptized 28 new people in our church. Next conference, I have found that more pastors started to share about this experience. And more churches started to use the basics. You know, it is strange that in our ministry we try to do many things, and then when nothing works, in final desperation, we come to God in prayer and we start to fasting. But the truth is, this is what we should start from. And when we pray, God starts to work. And our tent becomes bigger. I also believe we should increase our good works. You all remember what Jesus tells to all of us in his Sermon on the Mount, so-called Sermon on the Mount. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, when we start to do something good for people, not just because we are kind people or we like goodness, but because we believe God is good. And we believe that when go to people and do something good for them, this can open their hearts and their minds to receive the gospel we preach. Good is always good. But we are not satisfied just with doing good unless we preach Christ. We can make the life of people better, but for how long? Even if it would be better to the end of their life, this is just this life. What about eternal life? But anyway, there is value when Christians practice their Christianity, when they share their love with those around, and when people see their good deeds They change their mind. They start to ask questions. They start to search for God. You can continue to think like this. What can you do to really to make your tent bigger? And I encourage you to do this. But in any case, we are talking about God, who would like to do much more we can ask or we can expect. God, who would like us to remember this blessed word from Isaiah 54. This blessing reminder to all of us, enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge the place of your tent. Because I am your God. I will be your husband. I will glorify my name amongst you. Everybody would see that I am the God of the entire earth. So, let's keep faith. Let's keep loving people and doing good works. Let's keep praying. Let's keep our commitments to God. Let's do whatever possible with God's help to enlarge the place of our tents. Your tent here, our tent is in Odessa. May God bless you. Amen.